Imagine a metal robot hand, reaching down to pick up a raw egg.
Yeah, that is really the ultimate test of robotic physical control.
Right, because it's a problem of physics, really. If that metal arm moves too slowly, well, the robot is practically useless for real-world labor.
Exactly.
But if it swings fast to be efficient and miscalculates the force applied to that shell by even a fraction of a millimeter, you have a scrambled egg all over a multi-million-dollar prototype.
Which nobody wants. I mean, we so often focus on the digital side of the robotics revolution. We talk about algorithms, neural networks, the artificial brain.
It feels very clean and futuristic.
Right. But a brilliant AI is completely helpless if its physical vessel can't actually execute those commands.
And that's exactly why we're doing this deep dive today. We are looking at a massive data drop from 2026 that exposes a really silent foundational shift in how that physical vessel is being built.
It's massive.
We're opening up a stack of incredibly detailed industry reports, financial data, and market analyses focused entirely on the Chinese robotic supply chain. And the mission for this deep dive, for you listening, is to unpack how one nation went from simply assembling parts to completely dominating the highly complex, invisible anatomy of humanoid robots. And they did it in just a few short years.
Yeah, and the stakes in these 2026 numbers are immense. This is not a story about, manufacturing simple widgets. We are looking at a structural takeover of the fundamental building blocks of the future
It
workforce.
affects everything.
Exactly. It dictates the reality of everything from Tesla's Optimus program to major global competitors in Korea, Europe, and beyond.
Okay, so let's start with the most critical physical component of movement, which is the joints. Because to pass that egg test, the robot needs to swing its arm with immense speed, but still possess the delicacy to stop on a dime.
Right, and that capability comes down to a piece of engineering called the harmonic reducer. If you crack open a modern robotic joint, you will find a small metal disc. It weighs less than a kilogram. But inside that tiny compact space, there are hundreds of intricately carved interlocking teeth.
And what do they do exactly?
Its entire function is to take the rapid, wild rotation of an electric motor and translate it into incredibly precise controlled force.
So it acts as the translator between raw speed and usable power.
You got it.
Okay, let's unpack this. Because according to the financial data we are looking at, the economics of this specific metal disc have been entirely upended. The longtime industry standard was Japan's harmonic drive systems, and they comfortably charged around 1,100 to 1,200 RMB per unit, which sits roughly around the 150 to 170 US dollar mark.
Which is a premium price tag for what was considered a highly specialized precision component.
Exactly. Then a Chinese insurgent named Leader Drive enters the picture and just slashes their price to between 600 and 750 RMB. And following closely behind, a newer player named Lifu Harmonic pushes the floor even lower. By 2025, their average price dropped to just 573 RMB. So they effectively put a 50% discount tag on the cost of robotic movement.
Which naturally triggered a brutal industry-wide price war.
Right. But here is my question. If you slash prices by 50%, shouldn't your business tank? I mean, conventional logic says your profit margins should evaporate, making it impossible to survive, let alone fund R&D.
Well, what's fascinating here is the 2025 financial reports show the exact opposite for Leader Drive. The data they released in early 2026 was a complete shock to the market.
How so?
They didn't just survive the price cut. Their annual revenue grew by 47.3%. And more importantly, their net profit exploded by 121.4%.
Wait, their profit more than doubled while cutting the price in half?
Yep.
That points to a massive operational pivot. They must have unlocked a level of scale that made the per unit margin irrelevant.
It was pure, unadulterated volume. They sold 425,000 units that year, which is a 72.5% jump in production. The sheer scale of that volume completely eclipsed the drop in the profit margin.
That's wild.
And if you're trying to understand the sudden viability of the humanoid boom, the destination of those units is the vital takeaway. Out of those 425,000 units, about 100,000 went specifically into humanoid robots.
Humanoids suddenly making up a quarter of their entire business in 2025. That shows a dramatic acceleration.
Oh, and the velocity only increased from there. By the first quarter of 2026, their humanoid orders alone surpassed 100,000.
Wait, in a single quarter?
In a single quarter, they booked more orders for humanoid robots than they did in the entire previous year.
That explains the explosive market reaction, because by the spring of 2026, Leader Drive reached a market cap of over 77 billion RMB. But their price-to-earnings ratio, the PER, is sitting at a staggering 620x.
Yeah, that is astronomical.
Valuing a hardware manufacturer at 620 times their actual earnings suggests investors are pricing in an entirely new global paradigm before the robots have even fully hit the streets. Is that a bubble?
Well, that 620x multiple means the market is heavily betting on the realization of some very ambitious corporate promises.
Yeah.
Look at Elon Musk's stated goal, right? Producing 1 million V3 Optimus robots a year, starting in late 2026.
Right, and a single humanoid robot requires between 10 and 20 of these harmonic reducers, depending on the design, usually 14 on average. So if one company alone hits 1 million robots, you instantly need 14 million reducers.
Exactly. It manifests a brand new 14 billion RMB market out of thin air, and the broader market has essentially concluded that LeaderDrive will be the entity supplying them. Even the largest Western technology companies cannot make the consumer mathematics work without integrating these significantly cheaper, high-volume components.
But precision gears only solve half the egg test. I mean, a flawless joint swinging a blind arm will still crush the shell if it can't actually feel the physical resistance of the object. We have to move from the structural joints to the sensory nervous system.
And that introduces the six-axis force torque sensor.
Right. To visualize how this works for you listening, think about standing on one foot. You don't consciously tell your body how to balance. The nerves in the bottom of your foot are constantly sending microsignals to your brain about where the pressure is shifting,
allowing your muscles to dynamically adjust.
Exactly.
And the six-axis sensor provides that exact proprioception for a machine. It measures physical force and rotational torque in the X, Y, and Z directions simultaneously.
All at the same time.
Yeah. That continuous stream of data allows a bipedal robot to balance dynamically on uneven ground. And it allows a robotic fingertip to register the exact micropressure it is applying to a fragile object.
Historically, though, extracting that data was incredibly difficult, right? The algorithms required for calibration and decoupling, essentially untangling all those complex overlapping physical signals, were a massive hurdle.
Huge hurdle.
Our sources say a U.S. company called ATI used to hold a virtual monopoly on this technology because they mastered that complex math. But the reports indicate that by the third quarter of 2025, foreign market share for these sensors within China plummeted to under 1%.
The legacy monopoly was essentially wiped off the board in a matter of months.
So how did they do that? Did they just figure out the math overnight?
No, they didn't just beat the math. They fundamentally changed the manufacturing process itself. They completely abandoned the traditional manufacturing model.
Oh, really?
Yeah, the legacy process used by companies like ATI was highly artisanal. Technicians had to manually glue tiny, delicate strain gauges onto metal components.
That sounds tedious.
Very. It yielded a highly precise sensor, but the process was painfully slow, labor-intensive, and incredibly expensive. We're talking about sensors that cost tens of thousands of dollars per unit.
I mean, you cannot engineer a commercial product if you have to place a $50,000 sensor into every individual finger of the robot. It turns the machine into a luxury Swiss watch rather than a mass market appliance.
Exactly. So to solve that, Chinese companies collaborated with the Chinese Academy of Sciences and pioneered a completely different approach utilizing MEMS technology. Microelectromechanical systems.
Okay, what does that mean in practice?
Instead of manually gluing individual sensors, they began printing force sensors in batches, essentially utilizing the exact same photolithography processes used to print semiconductor chips.
Oh, wow. So they transformed a bespoke artisanal hardware component into a scalable silicon chip process.
Exactly. And the economic impact of that pivot was devastating to the older manufacturing models. The production costs dropped to just 20% of the imported price.
And did the quality drop too?
No, crucially, they achieved this without sacrificing the necessary performance. A company named Kunwei Tech hit a precision rate of 0.05% full scale. They delivered world-class accuracy at a fraction of the legacy cost.
Which explains the staggering market capture. A firm called LinkTouch secured somewhere between 72.6% and 80% of the entire humanoid market share. They became the default supplier for nearly every major player. Agibot, Xiaomi, XPeng, UbiTech.
And this manufacturing shift fundamentally alters how engineers approach robot design. When a sensor costs tens of thousands of dollars, engineers operate with a scarcity mindset. They severely ration the sensors, perhaps placing just two in the wrists and relying on software to guess the rest.
Right, but when you can print them like silicon chips, the budget constraint just vanishes.
Exactly. Engineers can operate with an abundance mindset, stuffing multiple multi-axis sensors into every single knuckle, palm, and foot. It completely transforms the physical awareness and capability of the machine.
So you combine the cheap, high-volume joints with this newly printed nervous system, and you arrive at the foundation needed to build what Elon Musk has publicly called the single hardest piece of hardware in all of robotics, the human hand.
The dexterous hand is an engineering nightmare. You are attempting to pack dozens of mechanical joints, those newly printed force sensors, and the micromotors required to drive them into an incredibly confined space.
All while ensuring the structure is robust enough to perform actual industrial labor.
Right. And the sources present two very contrasting narratives regarding how this specific market is maturing. On one side, you have companies representing the ground reality of solid manufacturing. A prominent example is Yinshi.
Yinshi. Right, because they are actually shipping tangible products with remarkable specifications. Their dexterous hands weigh just 540 grams, which closely mirrors the weight of an average adult male hand.
Which is incredibly light.
Yet, despite that lightweight profile, every single finger is capable of pinching 1.5 kilos of weight.
Delivering that kind of power-to-weight ratio in a commercial product is a significant milestone.
And they shipped over 10,000 of these units in 2025. Their overseas sales saw a 20-fold explosion, moving product into North America, Japan, and Korea. That represents the reality of a scaling hardware business.
Very true.
But then, here's where it gets really interesting. The second narrative paints a picture of intense, almost feverish hype surrounding the future potential of these hands. Specifically, the unicorn phenomenon surrounding Linkerbot.
Right, the venture capital side of things.
Exactly. A Reuters report from May 2026 highlights that Linkerbot hit a $3 billion valuation in their B-plus round. $3 billion. And they're aiming for a $6 billion valuation in their next funding round, or an eventual IPO, claiming they hold 80% of the high degree of freedom robot hand market.
Yeah, but if we connect this to the bigger picture, those figures require a highly critical analysis. That 80% market share figure is entirely self-reported by Linkerbot. It lacks independent verification.
Good point.
More importantly, their current production capacity is only hovering around 5,000 units a month.
So a $3 billion valuation for a company producing only 5,000 hands a month suggests the capital isn't valuing the current manufacturing output. They must be valuing the economic disruption of the specific labor those hands are designed to replace.
And Linkerbot's executive strategy confirms that exact deduction. They have explicitly stated their focus is not on basic low-wage labor. They aren't engineering hands to fold laundry or pack cardboard boxes.
What are they targeting then?
Highly skilled, high-value human tasks. They are developing hands capable of playing the piano, administering professional massages, and even assisting in dentistry.
Wait, dentistry? Engineering a robotic hand with the tactile feedback and precision required to hold a dental drill in a patient's mouth is an entirely different paradigm than moving boxes in a warehouse.
It's a completely different level of risk and precision. But their internal calculus suggests the economic return on automating those high-value tasks is at least 3 times higher than basic labor. The astronomical valuations we are seeing, the $3 billion, the $6 billion, demonstrate the extreme premium global capital places on the mere potential of successfully mass-producing specialized human skills.
But none of those high-value tasks are possible without the underlying muscle driving the fingers, right? I mean, if you are packing dozens of joints into something the size of a human hand, the motors driving them cannot be standard industrial actuators. They have to be incredibly power dense.
You're absolutely right. The unsung hero enabling the dexterous hand is the coreless motor. You need a motor that provides high torque with very low inertia, allowing for rapid, precise twitches of the robotic finger.
Okay.
And for decades, European manufacturers like Fallhaber and Maxon held a near monopoly on this technology, controlling over 85% of the global market.
But let me guess, just as we saw with the sensors and the harmonic reducers, Chinese firms systematically disrupted that European monopoly too.
Exactly. Companies like Mingzi and Zhaowei developed mid to low cost coreless motors tailored specifically for the unique demands of robotic fingers, effectively unblocking the final supply chain bottleneck for the hand.
So the entire ecosystem, the precise gears, the printed sensory nerves, and the power dense muscles is now fully localized and capable of mass production at a fraction of the legacy cost.
Completely localized.
This brings us to a really chilling term from the text. Sensory subordination. If one localized supply chain dominates the joints, the skin and the hands, and you factor in that Chinese companies like Orbec completely dominate the 3D vision cameras while Omnivision dominates the optical chips, it creates a structural trap for the rest of the industry.
It's a profound shift in global technological power.
If a robotics firm in Korea, Europe, or the United States wants to build a commercial humanoid robot today and sell it at a price a consumer or business can actually afford, they simply do not have a choice. To make their bill of materials work, they must purchase the optical sensors for the brain, the 3D cameras for the eyes, and the printed force sensors for the skin from this single ecosystem. It is a mandatory structural reliance.
Right. Because you can write the most sophisticated artificial intelligence software in the world, but if your physical vessel is too expensive to manufacture, your software has nowhere to live.
Yeah.
The platform power shifts to the entity controlling the physical anatomy.
So what does this all mean? Is it game over? Is there any piece of the robot that isn't controlled by this supply chain, or are the walls completely breached?
Well, the monopoly is not absolute. There are very real engineering challenges that have not yet been solved by this hyper-efficient ecosystem. The first major hurdle is a concept known as precision retention.
Precision retention. So the Chinese harmonic reducers look great on day one, but the real test of industrial hardware is how it performs on day 1000.
Exactly. Under harsh, continuous industrial conditions, the localized reducers still suffer from degradation. They cannot yet match the long-term durability and lifespan of the legacy Japanese components.
Okay, so Japan still has an edge there.
Yeah. Furthermore, when you look at the heavy-duty joints, the ones bearing massive physical loads, known as RV reducers, that market remains heavily dominated by Japan's NEPTESCO. The localization rate for those specific heavy lifters is stubbornly stuck around 20 to 30%.
Got it. So Japan continues to hold the crown for heavy-duty longevity and reliability.
For now, yes. But the absolute final bottleneck and arguably the hardest mechanical problem left to solve is a component called the planetary roller screw.
Planetary roller screw. Okay, if the harmonic reducers handle the rotational movement like swinging an elbow or a shoulder, then the planetary roller screw must be handling something completely different. Are they acting more like the muscles contracting and extending in a straight line?
That's exactly it. They are the core component for linear motion. Think of a bicep pulling. And the design of Tesla's Optimus requires 14 of these highly specialized screws per robot.
14. Based on how complex linear motion is to stabilize, those 14 components must represent a massive chunk of the robot's total manufacturing cost.
Oh, massive. Depending on the required specifications, a single planetary roller screw can cost up to 12,000 RMB.
Wow.
When you multiply that by 14, the financial burden on the prototype is immense. Unsurprisingly, the localization rate for these screws is also stuck at that 20 to 30% mark.
I imagine companies are aggressively trying to fix that.
They are building factories as we speak, aiming to replicate the sensor strategy and drop that 12,000 RMB price tag down by 95%.
But wait, if they managed to print force sensors like microchips, why haven't they been able to engineer a cheaper way to manufacture a metal screw?
Because the fundamental difference lies in the manufacturing equipment itself. You cannot batch print a planetary roller screw. It requires highly specialized, ultra-precise machining tools to carve the metal with the necessary tolerances.
Oh, I see.
Currently, that specialized manufacturing equipment is not localized. To build the factories, they must purchase the machines that make the machines from overseas suppliers. So until they solve the upstream equipment bottleneck, the price of linear motion remains the final sky-high barrier to total dominance.
We have covered a massive amount of ground exploring this 2026 data. We started by asking how companies are suddenly promising to build millions of humanoid robots. And the answer really lies in a rapid, brutal price war in harmonic reducers, combined with brilliant manufacturing pivots like transitioning from artisanal gluing to printing force sensors like silicon chips.
Which is incredible.
It really is. It allowed one nation's supply chain to conquer 75% of the harmonic reducer market and over 90% of the force sensor market, essentially becoming the platform power beneath the entire global robotics industry. They own the tactile skin, the optical vision, and the delicate joints.
They do. And while they are still battling against the unbreached walls of heavy-duty Japanese longevity and the equipment bottlenecks of linear motion screws, the speed of their market capture is just undeniable.
It is.
And as you watch this industry inevitably explode over the next few years, this data raises a really critical question about the future of the technology.
What's that?
As the physical body of a humanoid robot becomes almost entirely commoditized by a single hyper-efficient supply chain, where does the true lasting value of a robot actually live?
It sets up a massive collision between software and hardware.
Exactly. Is the future economy going to be controlled by the tech giants writing the AI soul that operates the machine? Or will the nations that hold the structural monopoly on the physical bones and nerves ultimately dictate who gets to participate in the humanoid revolution at all?
Because no matter how brilliant the AI brain gets, if it cannot delicately pick up that raw egg without crushing it, it is just code trapped in a box. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Keep questioning the technology taking shape around you, and we will see you next time.